mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it.
I feel like the general population has a unanimous opinion of fire alarms, don't they? Don't most people find fire alarms a necessary evil?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you think about it.
Well, the worst are in the house. The thing never goes off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
The chirp, beep. It's always at 3 in the morning.
It's so high-pitched.
That's a fact.
Beep. Am I right? And my wife has the ability to hear in the farthest part of the house in the basement. I could have it going off in my house, in my room, and I wouldn't hear it.
It's so high-pitched. That's Beep. The thing. It's like, I appreciate Gabe's beeping, but
yeah.
Like it's like...
Oh, it's... I have... I do not have the
so
vocal
like,
range.
And it's just one of those like grating sounds. Every noon in our town, the sirens go off. It's just like a old, you know, it's kind of cool, you know, and
yeah.
The girls will be playing outside and I'll be like, oh, it's noon,
yeah.
You know, and we live pretty close to where the siren is.
Yeah.
And then girls are always like, why is it so loud? And I'm like, well, proximity, you know, we live close to where the siren is, but people who live on the other side of town also need to hear the siren. No, it's an emergency siren.
Yeah.
If there were an emergency, that noise doesn't really bother me. Fire alarms, however, and why are we bringing this up? Well, we got an email yesterday saying that our building would be testing the fire alarm. You know, that's what those dudes were for. The dudes that followed me in this morning.
Yeah.
I was telling you guys about the dilemma, the conflict of conscience, where you're like, people try to follow you in through a locked door, and you're like, I don't want to be the one that
so
let
now,
the bad guy in.
So now your no-before training's finally kicking in? didn't help out when you got the spam text?
You
got
to do it, Gabe. So that's, when you do the no-before training, then all of a sudden the things click. That's what those dudes were. They're probably the fire alarm people.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out why these people are following me in the locked door this morning. That's probably what, anyway, we're going to get a fire alarm testing happening at any point. Is that the...
We're currently overdue.
Yeah, because it's been... they've been working on it a decent amount this morning. A nice little feature that I was unaware of. So where Joshy typically sits when he's not down here is a different part of the office where we like meet. And there's a door between the two kind of areas.
I didn't even know that door existed. I didn't even know there was a door there.
The fire alarm went off. Mm-hmm. And it closed the door.
That's a fire safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you try and keep it in one area.
What if you're behind the door?
Well,
then you're screwed.
The door still opens.
Nice knowing,
yeah. I mean, I was part of me rooting that door was locked and Joshy would have an issue getting to, you know, getting out of that area this morning. Yeah, I was kind of rooting for that a little bit.
I actually said it out loud.
Let me tell you, all it does is close it. But it's a part of the safety protocol. And I don't know if I should be saying this. I don't know if there's anything I disregard more than the fire alarm. Having lived in apartments where it's a shared, that sucker goes off. I was on the 13th floor. Never once left.
Well, how often was it going off?
Oh, in college,
time. Have you lived in like a high rise?
No, but I do frequent hotels.
Weekly, Jen.
And there were a lot of times where people would pull the fire alarm at hotels. Didn't that just happen? In
yes,
NBA playoffs.
It's gotta be. We had it in Detroit. Holmgren went crazy, 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that happens.
And we all, I think it was a noon game. Well, 1 o'clock because it was Detroit. All had to get out of our beds at one in the morning, and he was not happy.
Well, once somebody finds out that the opposing team is staying in said hotel, it's almost an inevitability that.
Yeah.
Someone's going to try to do something.
You get all liquored up and you're like, you know what would be awesome is if I could contribute to the other team having a tough time tomorrow.
My hearing a fire alarm and then actually leaving the building ratio has got to be outrageous.
Like low.
Oh, it's so low.
Yeah, but you get fined.
By who?
Well, I'm guessing.
The fire department, if they catch you in there, you don't leave the building. They have the ability to fine you.
Yeah, but if the
at least that's what they told us in college.
Good luck finding college kids, yeah. By the way. Like, I'm rubbing two sticks together. Yeah. You want one of them? You know, like, what are we doing here? The fire alarm, it's probably because of the boy who cried wolf mentality, the boy who cried wolf mindset. It goes off enough, and it's just a false alarm or kids playing a prank or faulty electric or whatever you find out. Then you're like, well, is this real? Probably not, based on my past experience. So I'm just going to hang here and continue watching Melrose Place.
Yeah, it's terrible advice, and I wouldn't suggest it to anyone. I bet there's many people who have done exactly what we're speaking about. And then, you know, been in precarious situations where they had to exit via window or something along those lines. But it just simply happens, especially if you live in an apartment building or dorm building. It happens so frequently. And then the problem I had was, I lived with high ceilings, so it was basically two stories per one story. The elevator would shut off and then have to be turned back on by the elevator service.
Mm.
So I had to climb 26 flights of stairs to go back to bed oftentimes.
She's like, nobody is making me do cardio. Right. Okay?
It's fine. I had, you know, sometimes you come home from work, there's issues with it. You deal with it. But 4 a.m, 3 a.m, I got to climb now?
No, you got to sweat. You got to stretch just to get back home?
Right. It's grueling work.
I want to pull a quad running up those stairs.
Yeah. What are the most, like, ear-chilling sounds in the world? As soon as I said it out loud, brakes.
What?
Brakes. The sound of... immediately you tense up, right? Because so it feels like...
The sound of the rubber just...
The sound of when someone puts their foot on the brakes and the car is like...
Screeching to a halt.
Yes, hopefully. Cross your fingers.
A hungry newborn crying.
Oh.
You know, where they're just gasping for air?
Yeah.
Oh.
And when that would happen in your house...
I'm like, will you whip it out already? Jeez, I'm crow. What are we doing here?
I was like, which room would you retreat to?
Yeah. That is a screeching, and I get it. I mean, I throw fits when I'm hungry sometimes.
You know? You've got so many more words than that newborn does, so it makes a lot of sense. Gabe, what's the sound that just
shivers
down your spine?
Going back, so you must hate whatever solution they put on our parking garage, because your tires will squeal a little bit, even though you're going 5 miles an 100%. Hour around the corner.
And I'll take it one step further. When we got our driveway done, same thing. There must be some type of finishing solution on the driveway, because whenever I pull into my garage, it doesn't matter if I'm going 2 miles an hour, it doesn't matter if I'm going 10 miles an hour. I feel bad for our neighbors because I'm like, they probably think I'm Mario Andretti over here trying to get into my garage, where really I'm like, creeping in, but it's the tires on the surface that just makes that noise. But yes, that is one that, although you can't ever sneak up on anyone in my house. That's the other thing. Like, mom's home.
Car alarm that doesn't shut off.
Oh, in the middle of the night.
It's so annoying.
Oh,
yeah. That's...
Here's another one that's a safety thing in your car. If you get in it and don't put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a humdinger.
Yeah.
And now it just gets progressively worse.
And more aggressive.
At first, first it's like, hey.
Yeah.
Come on. Put it on. All right, what are we doing? You should put it on. Bleephole, what are you doing? Get this seatbelt on.
The one that can make me angry and have to get up and leave the room is chewing with your mouth open, or me hearing you eating in any manner. That drives me up a wall to a degree where it physically controls my body.
That's got
to
be called something. That, specific thing about the sound of eating, or the sound of... Does it have to be the food in mouth? There are some meals that when you're stirring them in the bowl, there's a...
Yeah, mac and cheese, for instance.
Yeah, noodles kind of comes to mind.
Doesn't bother me as much as... Because there is an element of somebody having a lack of awareness that everyone around them is judging for being...
Of course
being,
that gets you.
Yes. Yes. So there's an element to that. The whole thing... it's very popular on the internet for people to film themselves eating, and it makes me just shudder. I don't want to hear you do... It's disgusting. It's
what
gross.
What about a dog licking its junk? That drives me just like... What are you...
You're just jealous.
A little bit.
That was a good pop.
But that, I mean, you guys all have dogs.
It's yeah. gross. When they I lick it, yeah.
Yeah, like you know, Bubba starts doing it. Come on,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him a little nudge, like Bubs. All right.
Yeah,
all right, that's
we got it. Yep. Yeah, we got it.
You got it, bud.
Dental drill. How about that noise, though? Wing.
That wasn't even a good impression, and it got me. Yeah, gave me the jeeks.
One that always got me, and I haven't played basketball in forever, but when somebody hits the deck and their skin just
just
screeches across the floor as they're diving for a loose ball.
How about a blender running too long? How smooth does your smoothie have to be while I'm watching television?
The smoothest.
We've gotten in the habit at our house, if you're using the blender, you have to give a blender call. You got to go, blender coming.
Yeah.
Just to like let everybody know to prepare themselves.
Coming in hot.
Like you're setting off.
Fire in the hole.
Artillery. Yeah. you know which one? And we speak at them every day. Microphone feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Like you get that higher pitch?
Yes.
Yeah. When you get that in the headphones.
Yes.
Or you're speaking at a big event and you got the microphone in hand. Yeah. Somebody gets too close with another microphone and it just shoots through the speakers. Yeah. That like.
You want another one? A guy grunting in the gym.
Again.
Am I right? Yeah. Annoying. Like, really?
What if it's a girl grunting in the gym?
That is bad.
I'm sensing. Not going to go there.
I know. I skipped over it, too.
You know, the meatheads. We all seen them in the gym. I was at a gym one time packed, and this guy couldn't shut the... And I will, at this age, will tell you to shut up. I don't care. So I kind of let it go. The guy was just a tool, you know, the tank top and all roided
up. Look at me.
Went in there the next day, right? Went in there the next day, and there were three people in there. He didn't make a peep.
So he's capable.
He's a look at me D-bag.
When's the last time you grunted in a lock in a weight room?
I'm not a grunter.
Like, even if you're...
Unless it's early in the morning.
You're trying to back it out.
Yeah. But in the gym, it's just,
You guys mentioned the dog licking. I don't think it has to be its nether region. Yeah. It's just the licking sound that is a little bit like, ha, ha, ha. But what about the retching?
Yes.
What, the hairball?
Yeah. Where all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh
yeah.
My
Panic God, ensues. Oh yeah.
Really?
Well, it might not be that the sound sends the shiver up your spine, but like what the retching represents, what's coming next.
My dog likes to do that on top of me. He's usually trying to seek like, hey, I got something going on here. And it's usually on my lap or it's woken me straight from a sleep. And the next thing I know, he's over me. I also lived next to a train track, one where they started and ended. And that noise of the wheels on the track is as
slowing
bad.
Down?
It's like nails on the chalkboard level. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, when you're moving 100-plus cars and there's a lot of momentum and weight starting up, it's a loud and long-duration noise. Well, it's terrible.
Doesn't the leaf blower drive you crazy?
Drives me crazy. And I even said to Dario the other day, if we could just get all of our neighbors on the same schedule... Like one day to do their lawn maintenance, then I would leave. I would go somewhere to the gym, to the store, whatever, get it all done. My issue is that it's all so staggered. So we got this guy on Mondays and that guy on Tuesdays and this guy on Thursdays. And so it's like every day there's either a leaf blower or a mower or a something that is making noise. We got some reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. That is your path to get into the show. Carrie in Mayville says, sniffing incessantly.
Uh-oh.
Blow your nose already. It drives me nuts. Cotton on your
Did you see
teeth.
That? He was sniffing.
Did he use the word man a lot? Bro? Yeah, that's right. Just let it go. You have no idea.
Dave from Aaron, cotton on your teeth, not a sound, but it resonates in your brain. That must be like that, like.
Cotton on your teeth?
You think it's that sound of like where you're.
Are you sure it's not the feeling?
Oh, maybe.
That makes a sound?
I don't know. I just assumed it was like that, like.
Let's not do it.
Which again is the talking thing. He said, let's not do it. tight, squeaky styrofoam from John in MKE. And then Chef Ed saying, in my building, the smoke alarm is wired in. You can't just remove the battery. They had the audacity to put it above my stove. I covered it with duct tape. Again, we are not suggesting that you do this with the smoke alarm, with the fire alarm in your home. We're just talking about how this morning we were told there would be a fire alarm going off in the middle of our show. And so we were just kind of mentally preparing ourselves for that. Ooh, Craig's got a good one here, guys. Worst sound is someone scraping the fork on a plate. Does that bother you?
Yeah, scraping it?
Like where you don't even have to be scraping it, but like you're eating and you're scooping up the stuff and like the
I never noticed.
What are the prongs? Is it prongs?
Yeah.
Nailed tines it. Of a fork?
Fork tines.
Hitting the plate, like ceramic plate or whatever it is. That drives Dario crazy. It just sends that shiver up his spine where he's like, ah, please stop.
Wait, so you guys just can't go out to eat? Because that's happening all around you.
I think eating cereal is annoying.
Or is it just like the
scraping? When people eat cereal, it's annoying.
Is it the crunching?
I think it's the spoon hitting the bowl and then the mouth and then the slop. It's just like...
Says the borscht lover.
Gabe eats cereal every day.
He does. I am a sloppy borscht.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Cereal, soup, yeah. same. In terms of the noises you're going to be
sloppy
making?
Sloppy borscht could be the name of a band.
It's the name of the first hour of the show.
Sloppy borscht.
We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Did you see that Ed Policy chatted with the media? We're going to talk about some of the things he said. A couple of them raised some eyebrows for us. We've got Adam Schefter coming up. Of course, we'll get to the Yonsense, all that and more straight ahead on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
Find out what all the screaming is about. Yeah, screaming to ceiling. BOGO. Buy one, get one right now. Pick and save in Metro Market. It goes through July 1st. So all Screamin' Sicilian pizzas. I mean, just think about how many different Screamin' Sicilian pizzas that is. You got your original, you got your thin and crispy, you got your tavern style, and me and Josh's favorite, the Detroit style. It's so good. I was at Metro Market yesterday, had to grab one. Just couldn't, no, you just gotta make sure. Gotta make sure you got one in the freezer. Never know when you're gonna have one because, I mean, somehow the way they find out a way to make that crust airy and it just doesn't get bogged down, it is fantastic. Can't recommend it more. So take advantage. Buy one, get one. Screamin' Sicilian. Pick and save Metro Market. Stock up in your freezer with all your Screamin' Sicilian flavors.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think's a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Life.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, keep getting us the most annoying sounds in honor of the fire alarm going off this morning here at the GKB studios. We have talked a lot about Mark Murphy's tenure coming to a close just a few weeks from now. And, of course, with that is the start of the Ed Policy tenure in Green Bay as Packers president. Yesterday, Ed Policy spoke to a number of the beat reporters for the Green and Gold, Rob Domofsky, Matt Schneidman, et al. I'm sure Jason Wilde was there as well. We'll talk to him about it tomorrow. And there were some interesting things to come out of it. Now, we could go in a number of directions here, but the thing that stood out to me was this statement by Ed Policy where he discussed improving communication. And it was basically the communication between Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. When you read that, Gabe, and I was going to pull up the direct quote, but I think that summarizes it pretty well. What was your initial reaction that the new president of the Green Bay Packers is prioritizing continuing to improve communication between his general manager and his head coach?
Means the silo system that Murphy put in place, to me, did not have the intended and desired effect that Murphy was hoping. Because he was hoping to break down those walls between general manager, head coach, and whatever Russ Ball's role is, right? So it seems like, and again, is that shocking? We've heard of not them not necessarily being on the same page, but hey, this is your area, this is my area, and we'll kind of cross-communicate when we need to. You know, it seems like LaFleur's input isn't really necessary a lot during the draft process, that he's not going to the draft combine. you know, he's able to kind of do whatever. So it's, yeah, I think that would be a good thing. And it wouldn't be shocking to me if at some point policy goes back to the way things were and everything flows downhill from the president to the GM to the head coach.
He can't do that while Goody and LaFleur are still here,
though. I would agree.
Can't do that. And with Murphy, there was player arrogance. You put that down if you want. There's player arrogance from the standpoint of, look, I used to play this game. I know everything about it. I'm going to oversee everything, which isn't a good thing. Because even I talked to my son, who's been in the biz now, coaching for a while, and there's stuff he says now, I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. You know, things evolve, right? Just because you played football in the 70s doesn't mean you know football in 2025. Right? So I think there was a little bit of that. I think eventually policy, because his dad was president of San Fran. He was president of the Niners. Bill Walsh was the GM. And then there were a couple coaches, I believe, under Walsh. So I'm sure he's a fan of that system, which I am, but he cannot do it while Goody and LaFleur are still part of this organization. Could you imagine that? If he said, all right, Goody, now you're LaFleur's boss. What would LaFleur do? Throw a fit?
I don't know, because
sort of feels like that. I was going to say that structure sort of exists, not in principle. No, in principle. It doesn't exist in word, but we keep talking about how, I know that we always go back to this. I want to make sure that we always go back to the draft. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it already in this conversation. We always go back to Matt LaFleur is forced to cook the meal with ingredients he didn't buy. And not that he didn't buy them. We don't know how much of a say he even had in. That's why it always feels like Hell's Kitchen a little bit, right? Like the buzzer goes off and you run to the thing and you grab whatever's there. And then you got to go make some culinary treat out of whatever was available. I have often felt like, what is the benefit of that? Why is that the reality? Again, Matt LaFleur may be weighing in and saying these are the pieces. We talked about Jeff Hafley, thinking that you're going to bring a guy like Jeff Hafley in. Why wouldn't you ask him what type of player? And we think that those conversations did take place. But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, Brian Gutekunst is the guy making the decision about the talent that Green Bay acquires. And we have wondered about that dynamic. I wonder if Ed Policy also wonders about that dynamic. Because the line here was, Policy says he will, quote, increase the amount and the time of formal meetings with football leadership in an effort to facilitate communication between Ball, Goody, and LaFleur.
And the one thing I could never understand with this setup was coaches aren't going and working out potential draft picks. What are we doing?
Doesn't sound like they are, right, Gabe?
That doesn't seem like that, no.
Most coaches any day of the week over a scout. Sure, scouts are going to find you Lucas Van Ness. Ooh, 4'6", benches this, you know, this much body. Great. But when it comes to technical stuff, I'm taking a coach's word over a scout all day long. All day long. And the fact that these coaches don't go to the combine, they don't go and work players out, that is bizarre to
me. Let me ask you this, Gabe, before we get to Adam Schefter, because he is coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And we're going to continue talking about Ed Policy as the morning goes on. But let me ask you this. If you're Ed Policy and you are evaluating the draft, let's just stay there because it's an easy area to dissect. Do you feel like whoever is picking the players has done a great job? Do you feel like the draft has gotten Green Bay over the hump? Do you feel, because there's a part of me that wonders if he looks at this and goes, I mean, we got good people, but it's not doing enough. We're not where we want to be. And there's a part of him that's saying, we have underperformed across the board, and therefore I need to shake things up to get us where we want to be.
I think he looks at, okay, whoever's been doing the drafting, in this case Goody, they've done a good job. I don't think they can say he's done a great job because they don't have those stars or studs that are homegrown right now, right? They haven't extended Zach Tom. Who knows what the future for Tom is. Hopefully it's still here in Green Bay. But it seems like he wants to improve that communication between the facets. And again, the intended concept, the thought was, oh, all these guys are on the same level. Everybody reports to me. They're going to be working together more. It doesn't seem like that Murphy's idea of that came to fruition. And yeah, you're stuck with that for now, as long as these guys are here. So now we're going to have more meetings to make sure you guys are working closer together.
He already fired a shot across the bow. I'm not extending either one of you. That's a shot across the bow, right? Hey, what you're doing is good, not good enough. We have a different standard here in Green Bay. You haven't reached it. So when you do, we'll extend you. But right now, we're not. It's kind of a shot. Don't you think it's a shot across the bow?
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter is coming up next. Good stuff there, Chew. Let's ask Adam Schefter what he knows about Ed policy and other things that are going on around the league right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Adam Schefter with a big announcement this week. We will get to that shortly, I'm sure. Look at him smirking over there on the video stream, on the YouTube stream. Adam Schefter, I want to begin with this. Ed Policy spoke yesterday, obviously taking over as the Green Bay Packers president, and he listed three priorities he will have during his administration. Now, that's not all that unusual, but when he says number one priority is keeping the Packers in Green Bay, there's a portion of the Green Bay fan base that goes, I'm sorry, what? Is there any chance that the Green Bay Packers are not the Green Bay Packers? Where did this come from?
It's the first I've heard of it, and my first reaction when I hear it is there some sort of stadium renovation that's needed? Is there some sort of plan that's needed? What do they need done? Because, like, I don't think the New York Yankees are moving. I don't think the Boston Celtics are moving. Like, the Green Bay Packers, I've never heard that. So for him to say that, there's a reason for that. And I don't know, again, they've refurbished Lambeau Field. They've done a beautiful job. It's a great place to go. But there must be more work that they want to. That's my immediate guess. What's your guess?
Is it the negotiations, Joshy?
If I were to sort of peel under, it's remember the rent conversation and the lease and how they didn't want to pay as much. And then they were holding off on some of that stuff. That was my guess.
There's definitely something.
A little posturing.
That's what that is. I mean, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, what? Moving? Like, I haven't heard that. And I didn't know he made these comments. But there has to be something with the stadium. There just has to be. Because that's a playbook as old as time. As soon as an owner's not getting what he wants, as soon as in this case, it's a rare ownership situation. They always have to say, okay, well, we're not considering moving, or we don't want to move, or that's not what we want to do. But it's out there as a little bit of a subtle backhanded threat.
Adam, what are you hearing about potential landing spots for Jair?
I think that there definitely is some interest, and I think a team that definitely has expressed some interest, I don't know if it'll get done or not, would be the Carolina Panthers. We'll see if that gets done. There are other teams interested as well that have checked in. He's got multiple options, and again, I think he's going to want to be in a one-year deal, as we've talked about, where he puts himself into a system that he has the ability to shine and then hit the market again at the start of 26 as a prize free agent commodity.
All right, Adam, all this football stuff is great, but let's talk about the really important stuff this week.
Yes.
So we've got, again, in your career, most known for being NFL insider, you've done some great things. You've done some sideline work for NBA and ESPN. But I don't know. Like, I'm most excited for you because I know how much you love golf. You're going to be walking with one of these featured groups on ESPN Plus PGA Tour Live. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm fired up about it. And, you know, the great part about it, and I think that all of us will understand this, when you do this job, I mean, like, I'm kind of isolated and confined to one sport, and I love what I do, and I'm blessed and privileged and all those things like that. But it's so great when you get the opportunity to step outside that box and into a different world. So just like I think when you see artists and entertainers show up at training camp, they love to be in the football world. The football world loves to interact with artists and entertainers. It's the same thing, similar concept for me. Like, I've covered football for 35 years. I love it, but it's great when I get to do something else. It's just fun. It's challenging. It's invigorating. When I did NBA Sidelines for ESPN, which I haven't done in a little while, and I'd love to try it again. It was so awesome being in those production meetings, like in a half hour before the game. You're talking to the coach and going over players, and they're asking me football questions and I'm asking them basketball questions. Honestly, like, I think it's refreshing for them. They see the same people all the time, and it's like, oh, we have somebody from a different world. What's going on with the Green Bay Packers and their lead? Like, they want to know. And so tomorrow, just one day, I get to be the course reporter with a feature group on ESPN. They've assigned me to my group. I'm very excited about it.
Can you tell us what group that is? Or do I have to wait and tune in tomorrow?
10:35 a.m. Keegan Bradley, Rory McIlroy.
Oh, that's pretty.
You got the Ryder Cup captain and the Masters champ?
Nice.
That's a heck of a group, Adam.
Pretty happy about that. And that's going to be pretty cool. Like, again, I'm just along for the ride, literally. You know, they're not leaning on me for my golf insights. So for me, it's just a fun day. And I appreciate them bringing me on board for the day. And anything I could do to try to enhance the broadcast, I will do.
Well, you gotta be objective. Remember, Adam, you know, we know that you got these things where you bet on certain guys.
I'm not taking one of them, Jen.
I thought
maybe you'd want to take one of them, you know, just to keep a closer eye on the proceedings.
No. I've had that experience where I've followed my golfer. I've chosen a couple, about 4 years ago, I took Bryson in the Masters, and I was at my first Masters, and I said, I'm going to follow him. And this was when he was not as good as he was now. And like on the third or fourth hole, he hits one behind a TV tower, and he's grabbing his head. He was all worked. I felt I couldn't take it anymore. Like I was so worked up watching him. I'm like, I got to stop watching him. And then I had Morikawa. I picked him at the Masters. I followed him this year. Didn't like that. I don't want to follow my, it is like to watch what these guys do and to watch the shots that are in front of them, like on TV, it's what in person, like, oh my God, like it's crazy what they do.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen Gabe and Chewy here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, Adam, what is going on with the Bengals? We've been paying attention to it peripherally as we continue to want.
Yeah.
And when I say we, I mean me, Trey Hendrickson, but that's besides the point. Even Shamar Stewart now has a contract dispute with the team. How do you feel like they're handling these things?
Well, this is not what you want this time of the year. When you have situations like this, and when you have two situations like this, that's not ideal going into the offseason. You want peace and quiet. You want non-distractions. And really, the truth of the matter is, I don't know how much it really impacts things, but it's not ideal. And if it goes on into the start of training camp, that's even less ideal. And if it goes on to the start of the preseason, that's even less ideal. And if it somehow lingers to the regular season, which I couldn't imagine, but if it does, shame on them. Shame on them. Because you don't want these sorts of issues marring, clouding, disrupting, distracting your season in any way, shape, or form. You know, coaches hate distractions. These are distractions. And it's okay to have distractions on Wednesday, June 18th. But it's another to have them August 18th. So they have time to work it out. And as long as they do, all will be fine. But, you know, they're not close on a deal with Trey Hendrickson right now. And there's a disagreement with Shamar Stewart over language and those sorts of things. And again, hopefully everybody, for everybody's sake, they'll get it figured out.
Adam, one of the other things Ed Policy said is he is not going to extend LaFleur or Goody. Does that put him on the hot seat?
But, you know, I missed these comments. That's interesting, too. That is interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, they have 2 years left on their deal, Adam, but he could have said it a little softer, and he didn't.
I agree. To me, and I didn't hear the comments, but if it's just what you're saying,
yeah.
Right? I'm not. I mean, the answer is the answer. I'm not extending them. And there are a lot of coaches and GMs that get extended with 2 years left.
That was me. That was me. I just sent you the text message with the article from our buddy, Rob Domofsky. I heard the ding on the phone.
I thought that was your phone that was ding. You were just, nope, that's on me, guys. No, you were just texting so he could see that, sure.
It's my golf boss is telling me what time I got to be at the course, right? that's interesting to me.
Yeah. Did you know his dad, Carmen?
Oh, very well, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a no-nonsense guy. Fair guy, but no nonsense.
A great guy. A great guy.
Yeah.
And handled him. I don't know Ed, but Carmen was tremendous to deal with and first class, treated everybody with respect the way I remember him. Maybe there were some people that didn't have that experience, but I think he was tremendous at what he did. People loved him. And Ed, you know, is just getting started. And that's an interesting statement to me to make. All three of them under multi-year contracts, meaning Russ Ball, Goody, and LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are up at the end of this year. We won't be doing anything going into the season. I mean, matter of fact, you know, they're not going to be. I understand that. You know, and by the way, I don't disagree. Like, you don't have to do it, even though a lot of people do it 2 years left. There's going to be plenty of time. If the pack. What's interesting is, what would his feeling be if the season didn't go the way that people wanted, right? Like at that point in time, how is he addressing? Because by the way, he opened it up on it. So, my first question after the season would be, you commented coming into the season. You're not, now we're after the season. What do you think now?
Mm-hmm.
So he set a precedent here by addressing it. And by the way, like he could say, we're not going to address that. Well, there's your answer, right?
Yeah.
So, Adam, how early are you planning on getting there tomorrow? Like trying to get some good inside information? Because, I mean, Rory's been going through some driver issues, kind of peeking in the bag, see what model driver he's using, get a little intel on what Keegan Bradley's thinking about the Ryder Cup team. Like, how deep are we diving here with these guys tomorrow?
You want to just send him some questions? You want to send him some notes, Gabe?
if you want to recap your entire thing, I have a golf show on Tuesdays here, Adam. You're more than welcome to jump on at any point.
Gabe, you sound a little jealous.
You know what's great, Gabe? You'll appreciate this. So Rory and Keegan tee off at 10:35, and my producer say, you can be there by 10 o'clock. I said, 10 o'clock? I'll be there 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m.
Yes.
Like, what am I there? Where else would I rather be than at the travel? Like, honestly. Like,
yeah.
10 o'clock, get out of here.
He's like
there.
A kid in a candy shop, man. Yeah. He's so excited.
And to answer your question, Chewy, yes, I'm insanely jealous, especially because he got that pairing. It's a great pairing.
Yeah, it's exciting, and by the way, then Friday, it's kind of a fun week. Today I'm going to Bristol to do TV. Tomorrow we have the golf tournament, and then Friday, I'm doing a thing at Fanatics Fest, taping my podcast, the Adam Schefter podcast, for next week with two different people, two different stints on a stage there at Fanatics Fest. One is Chris Webber, which will be a big thrill for me. And I'll be very curious to talk to him about, here's a guy that couldn't afford to buy a cheeseburger in college, and now these college athletes are getting paid. And I want to hear his thoughts all about that. And then the second individual that they had me on stage interviewing at Fanatics Fest on Friday is Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
Hmm.
So that'll be kind of fun and interesting.
Chewy's a big fan.
Yeah. He's my guy.
What did I miss?
No,
there?
Chewy's just from the Boston.
And I'm a Giants fan. And I grew up probably an hour and a half from Foxborough, but they were terrible. You know us, fair weather East Coast fans. You know all about it.
I remember. Yeah, but you go to Boston College.
Yeah.
What town did you grow up there, Chewy?
Deerfield. About a half hour north of Springfield. Yankee Candles, my hometown.
Yeah, I know. Right by the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You got it.
That'll be awesome, Adam. Congratulations. I assume that your path and Chris Webber's paths have crossed just with you guys being Michigan men.
I've met him before. I haven't seen him in a long time. But the funny part there is that when Michigan comes up, people, they're like, oh, I was there when they won the national championship in basketball. They're like, the Fab Five won a national championship? I'm like, no. 1989, Ramil Robinson, Glenn Rice, Terry Mills, Loy Vaught, Mark Hughes, they won a national championship. You know who was on that team? Rob Pelinka was on that team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I played against Ramil Robinson in high school. He was good.
Great insight. Yeah.
Cambridge Latin.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Same as Patrick Ewing.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, why we remember these things, but not other more important things in life is beyond me, but we do. Right? That's how it is. By the way, and then, hey, Gabe.
Yeah.
Do we put J.J. Spahn's putt up there as one of the great putts of all time? Yes,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. To have the longest putt of the tournament be the one that he made on the 18th hole, on the 72nd hole of the tournament, yeah, that's outrageous.
Okay, so when we're talking about, and I'm not a huge golf historian, but Nick Taylor's putt at the Canadian Open mm-hmm. from 72 feet. We have J.J. Spahn's from 64 and a half. Tiger Woods' putt. Well, that wasn't a putt. That was a chip at the Masters. That wasn't a putt. What other putts are there that would rival Nick Taylor's and J.J. Spahn's?
Payne Stewart? Payne Stewart at Pinehurst?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as long, but to make that putt to win the U.S. Open at Pinehurst is up there. I mean, Tigers in 08 to force the playoff in the U.S. Open. Again, not as long, but you got to make a 16-footer in order mm-hmm. to force the playoff. I think Jack's on 17, the yes, sir, putt in 86. I'd throw up there.
But, J.J.'s and Nick Taylor's would be top five.
Yeah, because the sheer length of them. And Nick Taylor's just because he was the first Canadian to win the Canadian Open.
I think the best thing about Spahn's win is he hits the flagstick and gets screwed.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the rake. Most guys would be like, the golf guards aren't with me today.
Yeah.
I have no chance.
And five straight fives to start.
That he stuck in there and hung it out and grinded and won. I just think it was one of the better rounds.
He shot 40 on the front nine shoe. He went 40-32 to win the U.S. Open at that place. It's insane. That's an incredible back nine at that place.
Because
we talk about the putt, Adam, the drive on 17 might have been better.
That was awesome.
And you guys, did you hear the story about how he didn't get a lot of sleep the night before?
Yeah, baby throwing up.
The kid was vomiting.
And,
if that is not the most dad day ever.
And what I found out on Monday, I didn't even realize it until Monday, is that he's type 1 diabetic like my wife.
I had no idea.
So I know, what my wife goes through on a daily basis, and the fact that that guy, J.J. Spahn, is type 1 makes that even more impressive to me.
Yeah.
Because type 1s wage a daily battle that is unfair and incredibly impressive. So much respect to him and to all the type 1s out there who live like that. But to go out and accomplish something physical like that, some people might say golf not physical, but it is. Mm-hmm. And it was a physical, mental challenge. And, you never know how your sugars are going to react in a moment of stress or anything like that. So, I mean, that guy, that was very, very impressive. I'm hoping I get a chance to shake his hand here tomorrow.
Awesome, Adam. We are so thrilled for you. It sounds like you got a really exciting week ahead. We look forward to chatting with you again next week. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Always good stuff from our pal, Adam Schefter. And Gabe, we knew was going to go heavy golf. And I was nervous, but you handled it very well. So.
He's obviously incredibly excited about it.
Not that
he doesn't want to talk about Ed Policy and Jair Alexander and the Packers and all that stuff. But, like, he's pumped. Our dude is geeked out for tomorrow.
All right, here's the deal.
Yeah.
He calls you, says, I need a spotter for tomorrow,
yeah.
but you got to fly yourself and you won't get paid. Do you go?
Yeah.
Of course Gabe goes. What?
Duh.
Dumbest question I've ever heard.
I wouldn't.
Well, no, you wouldn't, but wouldn't he do anything. Would. And Gabe, just, I know some
give me a little
from O'Hare to Hartford. You can be there in 2.5 hours, okay? You got to get down to O'Hare, but once you're in O'Hare.
O'Hare's easy. O'Hare's a breeze.
Direct flight to Hartford. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. We will still continue talking about Ed Policy, who spoke with the media yesterday. And, of course, there is always some nonsense. Stick around for that.
Our conversations with our pal Adam Schefter each and every week brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. We were just talking about golf with our guy Schefter. You can play plenty of golf up there at the Island Resort and Casino. So visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Not seeing is your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so.
Before we get back to business here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I sent the guys this video of a car towing another car on a Houston freeway. And of all the ways that you can tow a car, this is the dumbest way to tow a car. Chewy, you remember this video that I sent you?
It's Twitter. I can't open Twitter.
Here, you take a look at it on my phone then while Gabe and I discuss. So it is.
That is so awesome.
It is. It's like a white Bronco, all right? Think of OJ. June 17th was just yesterday, yep. So that's mm-hmm. a timely reference. And it is towing a coupe, a sedan, it looks like maybe a convertible, behind it with a single chain. A single chain, and it looks like it's about 10 feet of chain, if
way
I had
too
to
much
guess.
Chain.
And this car is just, what do you call this?
Swerving?
Sweeping?
All over the highway, okay? And the cars behind it, I'm sure, are going, what the bleep? I
well, because you can't get around it because it's swerving from the left lane to the lane it's actually in, over to the right lane, back over to the left lane, and it's just swerving. There's
violently,
no way. Yes.
Violently swerving. I mean, the mirrors are gone. They have hit cars. They have hit the side of the road. Like, this is... And I sent it to you guys, and I said, this is the dumbest bleeping thing I've ever seen. And then I'm reminded, Gabe, that there are very, very dumb bleeping people out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is, I don't know how, I mean, I guess at this point, if you stop, the thing's just going to crash into the back of your bumper.
Right, you're stuck.
Like, you so I don't know what you do in this situation.
You just have to decelerate and just ride it out.
And just hope?
Yeah. Pray for the best.
Because, I mean, at what point did these people realize that they were in trouble?
Right away. Right away. The first time that car does its first fishtail, you're like, oh, no.
Well, why did he tow it from the back?
Yeah. I think that's an important detail, Chew, that we have yet to mention.
Maybe put someone in the car to steer.
I think there is someone in the car.
Oh, there is?
Isn't there? If you look at that video, I think there is someone.
So I thought that's what I was looking for. I didn't see it in the first pass. When you had sent it to us?
Is this just cheap? We were talking about frugal and cheap the other day. Is this just like they quoted him for the tow truck and they were like, oh, hell no, I'm not paying for that tow truck. Let me just strap it onto the back of my...
Probably.
Jeep Cherokee or...
No, I think that's just somebody who doesn't really understand physics? The process of towing. Yeah, and they were just a little confused and said, well, this should work. And then, no, it doesn't work. I was wondering if it was, is it like a rear wheel drive situation? That's why they would pull it that way instead. I couldn't really make sense of why it's specifically swinging that way.
Well, if you put it in neutral, it's in neutral. It's not going to matter.
It's not like you can lock the wheels down, right? Like, is that, maybe that's what they thought was going to happen was the car would just go straight or it would just
go. The driveness does matter if it's in neutral.
If it's a neutral, couldn't someone be steering?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what you would want to do, is have somebody be steering while the car's in neutral.
Right, but you would want to be going forward.
Correct. yes.
But still, you shouldn't, well, because it's obviously just strapped in there. It's not like towed the proper way.
Well, so this actually happened, I mean, this happened to me years ago when I lived in Madison. I was driving on the Beltline and my car died. Like, the battery just went, turned out it was an alternator. Mm-hmm. But my car died. I was able to, like, get over, you know, because I was in the middle lane, able to get over to the side of the road. And a good Samaritan pulled over and they're like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, the battery died. Yeah, and he goes, oh, probably your alternator. Here, had like a strap. He strapped me to the back of his truck. I mean, again, we didn't do it this way. We did it the proper way. So I stayed in my car.
Yeah, I got...
Yeah. So I was facing forward. He took us to the next exit. We pulled off into a Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
I went and we left my car there, went to a car parts place, bought an alternator, and he fixed my car right in the Home Depot parking lot.
See, and that's the thing, guys. Like, who can do that nowadays? The percentage of people who now know how to fix a car, tow properly, side a house, shingle a roof. Like, it is just a dying breed, man. It is just so. And so my first thought was like, my dad would never let me do something like this, right? My first call would be to him, hey, what should I do? And he would walk me through step by step how to get my car off the road if I had chose not. He'd probably be like, call a tow truck. Right? Like, let him hoist it up there. Let him take it to where you... Yeah, exactly.
I got it.
If I had to do this... And by the way, I'm watching the video again right now, guys. There is someone in the driver's seat. And he is, like, holding on for dear life.
Yeah, because
there.
The power steering won't work. So it's really hard to turn the wheel.
Once it starts going, you're screwed.
I have tow straps in the back of my truck. I pull people out all the time. And I give them to all my kids, especially the ones that are going to be in snowy cities. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to call a tow truck, you're probably... 100? 150? Now? To pull it out?
That seems light.
Yeah.
Going to be honest.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Toe straps are the best because it's like a rubber band.
This is not a toe strap.
That is not a toe strap.
This is a metal chain.
Yeah.
And I said about 10 feet of it looks like the guy's skiing behind a boat.
I mean, objectively, what the hell are you doing with a 10-foot chain?
Yeah.
Like, what purpose is this? Like, you were going, okay, we got to figure out a way to strap this. Well, I've got this 10-foot chain. What the hell are you doing with the chain in the first place? Like, what other use do you have for this chain?
Stump removal. Maybe he's removing some stumps, right? Throw that sucker around there and try to lift him out. We got to take a break here on Jen Gabachewi. Still a lot of stuff to get to as we roll on. Stick around.
Want to tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Might be time to upgrade your windows or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune. That's where Pella comes in, because Pella is the best in the industry. They've got a product line for every budget. In fact, I mean, that was the most impressive thing to me. I'm getting my front door redone by Pella. It's going to be happening later this summer. Already been through the process of the free in-home consultation. And just the number of options that they had. Not just the customizable options, but the budget options, seemingly endless. And right now, get no interest, no payments at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin for up to 2 years. So if your plan was to wait, guess what? Get it now and then wait and start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply, and 6/30/2025. Set your free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com. When you go to Pella, tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.